Excellent. The first thing I will point out is that I have made an error. We should not have been...
The first thing I will point out is that I have made an error and we're not starting at 3.30. That would be absolutely impractical. Where it says 15.30 as the first time zone, I can assure you we had no intention to ever start that early. That will be changed after we break out of into separate subunits. The agenda for tonight runs from now start time, which is not what's up there, with a quick welcome and review of the agenda and meeting plan. The agenda and meeting plan is as follows. A now shortened amount of time, I will suggest probably no more than 10 minutes, looking at the summit working group, meeting as a whole, and reviewing what has happened so far, and most particularly the proposal that is in hard copy for your information here today, and which was presented to the board for its consideration at this meeting. We will then break into two subgroups. The two subgroups are content and logistics, and the time spent up until the last half hour, or it says 40 minutes on the agenda, but I think we need to prune it to half hour, in other words, till 8 o'clock, when we come back together for the last half hour, where we will look at the next steps, activities, and how we're going to move the summit work towards Cairo. The agenda that has been provided to me by Wolf so far is for the summit content sub-working group. I have not found any agenda, nor have I been told there's one for me to find from the logistics subgroup, but perhaps they will create one on the fly at the time. Because the content, well, I suppose some people would say content is king, and because the content subgroup got their agenda to me early, it's their agenda that will be using the Adobe Connect whiteboard voting and everything else. So first in, best dressed, they'll get to play with the tools, the others won't. pardon me. I've been speaking far too much and drinking water not enough, so I do apologise by the constant clearing of my throat for the next couple of minutes. I seem to be rather short on existing working group members. Perhaps they've all gone for coffee, but if someone would like to go and round them up, that might be a very good thing. Because what we should be doing right now is the minutes from the last meeting. We don't have a quorum for those members in this room right now, so that will be taken online and we will deal with it at our next teleconference, so those minutes will be carried over. One of the main features of what we need to do in today's subgroups is organise and ensure that we are ready and capable to run the information public workshop on the at-large summit this week. There's been very little work, unfortunately, done in hard terms. We've talked about having flyers. We've talked about having information. We've talked about having all singing, all dancing presentations. I have seen no evidence of any of those, and I can only hope that some magic is going to happen between now and when the workshop runs, or we're going to look, can I suggest, rather foolish and underdressed. At the moment, the only thing we do have to do a presentation from is the document that was transmitted to the board as the follow-on document from the initial proposal passed on to the board in Delhi, which was the basis for the board saying they will put a placeholder and get staff to look at the budget ramifications of running an at-large summit. Clearly, we needed a good deal more for the board to consider than just a spreadsheet. So this document drew on various discussions, various points of agreement, and some of the individual points of view that had been brought up in particularly the lists, and made a story to wrap around the numbers. The main thrust of this document, and do we have this in other than English or only English? Only English. I apologise for it to be only English. The main thrust of this document was also to answer a set of identified unanswered questions in the existing or earlier documentation about the summit. There was working group input on those questions at the 11th hour, and any of the comments that had been brought to the table by the working group members was incorporated into this document. It's an adopted document by the ALAC Summit Working Group, and it outlines obviously the standard vision that we've all agreed to, the rationale, suggests that the deliverables and the objectives, activities outlines, which are a copy from the earlier documentation but with the addition of some further information for where we didn't have what was felt to be open questions. I doubt that many of you have had the time to digest this document, but I would recommend that you take some time to review it, perhaps at the beginning of the working subgroups, to have a good look at it, because it's that information that we're now going to have to sell and convince the wider constituencies of ICANN. That's the 10 minutes that I was planning on spending, cut down to about 6. I would, however, like to open the floor for any comments, questions or discussions before, in the next 3 to 5 minutes, we break into the content and logistics subgroups. And I would suggest that if nobody's here from logistics, then we all work on content. Go ahead, Sebastian.
The two chair of the subgroup are not here, then it's a little bit...
The two chair... Well, certainly the content chair is here.
I beg your pardon.
Were you just pointing out the lack of the chairs, or did you have a...
Yeah, because to split in two groups, if we need to split to two groups, we need to have some...
Most definitely. Evan, seeing as you're a familiar face from the working group, and I was somewhat lacking, other than really familiar faces from the working group earlier on, I'll just quickly recap. We have discussed the document, which I know you are painfully aware of, Evan. That was... discussed, painfully aware of. That man worked through the midnight oil helping me on that. Thank you very much. We are up to the point where we are about to break into the two subgroups. I pointed out that I had received an agenda from the content subgroup, and as such I'd been able to put that up on the wiki. Because I have their agenda, I'm also suggesting that... Oh, there! I thought I'd lost him again. I'm also suggesting that first in, best dressed, they can use the Adobe tool. Okay. And I'm not quite sure where the rest of the logistics group is. But we're up to the point where we need now to break into the two subgroups. If we're missing a significant proportion of one of the subgroups, we could work as a committee of the whole on content until we have enough in logistics to populate another space.
That's probably a better idea at this point. In terms of the logistic items, my big concern right now is there still a workshop scheduled for us to present at later this week? Because if there is, then we need to populate that.
Yes. Indeed, that was part of my preamble where I mentioned the absolute lack of anything, the fact that we're going to look extremely undressed and underorganised, other than handing out this piece of paper. And I was hoping that magically something would happen. All right. The proposal is that we work as a committee in the whole on the content agenda as lead in the content. Are you happy with that, Wolf?
Yeah, I have
a question.
Press
button.
Yes, I have it with me. I've just another file from today's business. And I'm just... Yes, here I am.
To relieve you, I have in fact put that up on the ALAC wiki.
Okay,
for
great.
In the agenda for today, so we can bring it up on screen. And I've also asked who's actually controlling this beast. Oh, right. I've also asked Frederick if he could bring up parts as you need them onto the collaborative space.
Yes.
Any of you with laptops that aren't doing their mail, paying their bills and talking to your loved ones, which I would suggest you shouldn't be doing if you're in one of my meetings, might care to join us in the Adobe Acrobat Connect, and then we can collaborate, vote and chat to each other as well. I now hand the floor to you. Thank you, Wolf. Those of you who are joining us in the Connect Pro meeting room will notice a set of clones. I don't know why I'm there twice. I normally don't clone myself, but Nick Ashton Hart does not actually occur four times in the universe, despite what it says. But for reasons known only to the magic of this system, all administration control is given to Nick. So both... Oh, no, Frederick's managed to become himself. Well done. So I don't know why you're there quite that many times, but Rudy's really Rudy, and I'm really me. France is really France, and we have no idea who Nick is. Okay. I think I filibustered as much as I can. Back to you.
what I actually suggested here, in the first part I made a resume of what was going on so far, what was discussed in the summit working group. When we decided to have the summit working group subdivided into different parts, one of them being the content-related working group, we decided to prepare a questionnaire, to make a survey among ALSs to get as much input as possible in respect of the agenda setting. I think it was quite clear to try to follow a kind of a bottom-up approach to include as many ALS as possible in the agenda setting and to get to know their concerns and priority topics they want to be discussed and treated at the summit. So in the meantime, the staff was working on the revision of this draft of a questionnaire. You improved it considerably. You made it much more consistent. You also were checking the possibilities of online voting possibilities. In the meantime, the questionnaires, the revised questionnaires, the finalized questionnaire was translated into French and Spanish, now to have it available. So this kind of work was done just before Paris. The next important step in my eyes is now to make sure that this questionnaire is circulated. And according to our experience, circulation, pushing information is one thing. Bringing people, ALS representatives, to pick it up, to work on it. I was just discussing with Rudy in the break in between. There are some ALSs who have some kind of consultation mechanisms, who have a kind of a work division inside their organization, to make sure that this questionnaire is sent to the right person who doesn't put it in the litter box of his computer, but is doing something on it. And I'm convinced we cannot simply count now, we spread it out, and in between 2 weeks' time, there will be plenty of responses. I think, according to our experience, we can forget about this. There is a need to send out reminders, even if necessary, to call ALSs in our regions to convince them again that there is a need, it's a chance of ALSs to participate in the agenda setting, and please, please fill it in. And as it was said before in during the General Assembly, I think a good and helpful mechanism may be to link the participation in filling in the questionnaire, to make it as a kind of a condition that ALSs may be authorized afterwards or justified to qualify for coming, participating in the summit itself. But this piece of information, I think, is not yet as clear as it should be or as conscient as it should be conscient among the ALSs. Maybe there are still a lot of ALSs who say, well, I don't care. Finally, we cannot force them to participate in our survey, to be very realistic. But I think after Paris, and it will be one of my main tasks of the follow-up of the Paris work, is to nerve my ALSs repeatedly to get the responses we need. I'm prepared. I would like to take this responsibility for Uralo. And I think we must make sure that in the second part of July we have as many responses as possible. And on that basis, then we have to verify the responses. I think this will be an awful lot of work, and I count on the staff's support, having then all questionnaires together. I wouldn't dare to make any assumptions about the returns, whether it will be 50%, whether it will be more than 50%, whether it will be less than 50%. My goal would be, and it would be my satisfaction, if we arrive having at least a return of around 50%. This, in my eyes, would be a success. So the analysis of the results wouldn't be accidental. it would be somehow substantial. And on that basis, we have a clearer picture about the needs, expectations, concerns, priorities, the way they want that the summit proceeds, etc. We have a clearer picture. And this picture and this results of the questionnaire, in my eyes, would be the working basis for the sub-working group content to draft an agenda and a program. What the summit should, what subjects should be covered. Workshops we have to organize, whether we have a lot of keynote speaks or whether people prefer rather more interactive meetings, etc., round tables, open discussions, workshops, the formats of the events at the summit. And I think about this, we need to have a clearer picture, and then we can compare it with the drafts we made so far, whether our drafts were made in the right directions already or our drafts have to be modified. And this is still a lot of work to be done, and this must then be done according to the schedule I tried to make here in this timetable. According to me, this must be done in August, because in August we are already under considerable time pressure, and then we have to communicate in between always back to the ALSs. I hope there will be a very constructive discussion on the summit working group mailing list. And by this collaborative process, I think we can come up with something very substantial in August. If this is not, this is for me still an open question. If this timetable is ambitious, if we are over ambitious, we have to cut down our expectations. Because I think somebody said democracy is a good but one of the most difficult ways to get along with things. And if we want to have this democratic, consultative approach as we are used to have it and know it by heart in Switzerland, we know at the same time it's normally extremely time-consuming and time-taking. Decisions take normally years to come up with an agreement, but afterwards, one of the major advantages of this kind of political system is it's mostly based on consensus. And this would be a little bit my philosophy behind the procedure, to allow as much participation as possible for a given period of time. And at the end of the consultation, then it's up on the content working group to come up with a draft. This draft should be discussed on the summit working group list, and then it's up on the organizers. Once the agenda or the draft of an agenda of a program is more or less approved, more or less consensus, then it has to be implemented. And then September, October is really the time. I wouldn't allow anybody coming late, let's say middle of September. Oh, sorry, I didn't realize your deadline 6 weeks ago. I have a very substantial, important remark, and I would like to insist that this issue, blah, 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 then I would say, get lost. So, allow bottom-up as long as possible from a certain point, and it's up on us to fix this deadline. We simply say, now consultation is over, now the program has to be organized, and this is another kind of issue. And then we need a small group who is doing the rest of the work.
I recognise you had your... Frederick, you wish to talk, and then Nick, and I'd like a placeholder for myself as well.
Bless you.
So tight.
Thank you. Just concerning the staff for Matthias and myself, we are the two ones that sent the summit questionnaire to ALSs. And we talked at the end of last week, and we said that we received quite a lot of answers, so we are going to make a consolidated replies for this week, okay? So you should receive until the end of this ICANN meeting a consolidated reply. Based on the number of, let's say, penetration answering this summit questionnaire, if you want us to send another reminder individually to those that did not answer, we can make it, okay? And we can also set up a date, maybe a deadline until the end of next week, to have the final answers and the final database on how people answer. Thanks.
What, you're calling time for what?
Point of order.
Go ahead.
I am lost about which questionnaire we are talking about.
Okay, I'll...
The summit questionnaire.
Nick has the floor.
I just wanted to ask.
I thought, and when we discussed, that it was to be supposed, as soon as it's translated, to be put on a tool to allow online answer.
There was insufficient time for it to go on a tool before this. It was to go on a tool, but it wasn't going to happen before Paris, and it was important that it went out before Paris.
What I was going to ask is, I, knowing the schedule that we have this week, what I would like to suggest is that we simply compile a list of those who have responded for the end of the week, and actually to do a detail, you know, to do the detail of what people said and how many people said they wanted this type of presentation versus that type of presentation. What I would say is perhaps it's more useful to do that after we give people a reminder and a few more weeks to try and get more replies, because I don't think we'll then publish results, and then I'm not sure that people won't think, well, we don't need to reply now because they've already published the results.
Okay, I put in a placeholder for myself because one of the questions I wanted to ask was the other side of the Paris nightmare. What are the chances of getting it on a interactive tool where the second round could happen using a big pulse or some form of survey tool? Or is that not worth it? Okay, I'm seeing it's not worth it around the table. Does anybody want to up the ante to say it is worth it? Going once, going twice. Right, it stays in its current... Whoops, sorry. Go ahead, Evan.
There's nothing wrong with using online tools. There's things like SurveyMonkey that could be up and running in absolutely no time at all. There's no reason that couldn't be done. As a matter of fact, that would probably make it easier and more convenient for people to do that as opposed to what we've done now.
Go ahead, Nick.
The reason we didn't use SurveyMonkey is because it doesn't allow multilingual surveys, and that was felt to be really important. So it was better to send out something that everyone could certainly read and respond to than something that only some people could. Would have caused a real problem in LAC, for example.
So you mean to say you can't go into SurveyMonkey and put in arbitrary text of your own making and arbitrary survey answers?
You have a survey in one language. To create three language surveys would at best require three surveys, and I don't believe they support all of the extended characters that are required for other than the basic Latin script. Rather like the domain name system.
Thank you. Rudy.
Yeah, just a proposition. Is there any problem that one of the ALSs is posting it on her website, her or his website, in the language they address their members?
Should people wish to have T-shirts printed with it on and walk around the streets to get it out there, I have no problem with that. You can put it on coffee cups, you can put it on buses, you just get the data, that's fine.
Because then the translation shouldn't be a problem if one ALS just translated in the language they are talking. The problem is very quickly solved.
It was only intended for the authorized representatives of ALSs anyway. Yes. It wasn't meant to be a community-wide survey of the members of ALSs.
And just as an addition, it has been translated in French and Spanish.
And I do think that, you know, if we do at least those languages, that is very, very important. We need to offer those at all times. Yes, Carlton.
Thank you, Chair. Could we have a consensus that the survey be allowed to run for another 3 weeks, and at the end of 3 weeks, we simply cut it off and make do with what we have?
Okay, the proposal is on the table that we extend the survey for 3 weeks and cut it off after that point in time. Is there anybody who disagrees with that proposal? Evan?
I'd like to make a suggestion that we publish a deadline of 2 weeks but accept them for three.
I'm happy to be friendly and generous if I'm forced to. The proposal is now that we have a technical finishing time of 2 weeks, but we give them another week to be little slack people and wander in late with their report cards. Very naughty that would be. But we don't let that become public, for heaven's sake. I'm not sure what happens with his transcript, for example, seeing as that becomes public. But is in the absence of anybody dissenting, can I ask that we have a quick raise of hands? In the absence of anybody being dissenting, nobody wishes to say no. Do you wish to? Right, okay. Let's move on to the next point. Back to you.
Yes. Thank you very much. By rereading my timetable and by talking, we have a very nice author in German who once said, "The advantage of the German language is it allows free thinking the moment you are talking." And this is sometimes you can imagine it as an intelligent approach, because people rethink while and after they were talking. So I just realized the format of my presentation is a stupid one, because it's a kind of a report I did in between two dinners for my kids, etc., and I was not thinking about the usability of it. So I'm just working on another version, which is a timetable with the time slots at the left column, what action should happen until the given time, by what means, and then the status. So this would be much more operational, and I will submit this at the end of this today's round, and I will promise I put it in my bathroom, I put it in my kitchen, and I put it on my computer to never forget what the content subcommittee is supposed and responsible to do, to care for its inputs. Does this somehow satisfy the rest of you? And for any... pardon?
Your help, Wolfgang.
Why in the
bathroom? Well, because
the place is stand more.
From time to time I'm shaving myself, and this is taking some time, and people are learning languages in the bathroom, I was told. Yeah. Okay.
The shower is the most productive.
So, I only want to finish. I will send you another draft at the end of this day, and if you have anything you see I have forgotten, because maybe I had too many meetings today, my sense of concentration is decreasing considerably. So please feel free to send me what you ever think should be added on this listing. So I would like to come up with a consolidated version of this timetable tomorrow or the next couple of days.
I'd just like to associate myself with Wolf's comments as someone who once drafted part of a treaty in the shower, in my head.
I'm learning so much more about so many of you that I had never planned on doing. And I will remind you that this is a recorded and transcribed meeting, and we'll go into the public record, and perhaps you would like to think about what you are confessing or otherwise at this table. Your next point, Wolf.
That's my contribution so far. if you want me to tell you some more home stories, I suggest we do this after the meeting with a good glass of wine or some beer.
I fear to ask any further details on many people's lives. And I suspect yours is now included in that list. Thank you very much, Wolf. I, however, do have something very important that I think we need to consider, which comes under the mandate of content. And just to fill you in, darling, we're working as a committee as a whole on content because of the lack of logistics. We're just not ready for that yet, plus people, basically people. One thing we do need to come to terms with is the general planning of what happens when in this document is the only thing at this stage that we are able to do any of the how many people we may have in what sort of rooms, doing what type of activities. And that has enormous budgetary ramifications. And let me share with you why. If we are using a single large room capable of taking 100, 120 people, if we move into five breakout rooms of 20 or 25, math means money. If we can use that one room to perhaps house three of your breakup groups into different sectors, you need to consider, it's a mix of logistics and content, I will give you that. You need to consider, we don't want to break down translation booths. We need to leave translation booths pretty much where they are. But I'd like you to perhaps do some whiteboarding work now on what types of activities, not drilling down to the details, but there's a flip chart over there. Let's start. We've got 100 people in a room. Day one, we're doing something with them in one space. Then what happens next? Not so much, it'll give you a model to get your content down and detailed with, but it'll certainly help with the logistics, which, let's face it, does need to get started. But it's the real hard, cold cash expenditure questions that we're going to have to face this week. So if I could perhaps ask a tag team of both logistics and content to drag the whiteboard flip chart or whatever that is over there across and start drawing some circles. Yes, that's even better. We'll have a digital space there, the Adobe Connect. How about somebody scribbles on a piece of paper and then somebody terribly clever makes it happen digitally?
Part of the problem with the logistics. Oh, sorry.
It's on wheels.
Oh, look it up.
Just from the logistical point of view, I mean, it's hard to even start until we have an idea of how things are going to be done. It's sort of like we can't even start to work until we see the results of how things come out here. It's a bit of a chicken and egg thing.
I respect the chicken and egg thing, but if I'm going to market a product, I'm going to decide I'm going to do a room of 70 people, and if only 60 turn up, I just adjust later. Yes, go on, Sebastian.
I think, Evan, we have already some idea of what we would like to do. We don't know what all our LSCs or our LSCs want to do. But if we start with this group of people, what is their wishes? And we will have maybe to make some changes, and hopefully to make some changes. That means that we will have a good number of answers with inputs. But if not, we will have some basis to do to organize a meeting. I know that we discussed about the number of days. We discussed about the fact to have training session or informative session. We want to have discussion session, exchange session, we want to be able to write or to finalize some documents. What type of documents it's, we can discuss on that, but it's contents issue, but we want to be able to finalize documents. Then we will need, for example, a writing group to work on and to come to the general assembly group. Then if we imagine that, how we can handle, we will not spend one day with just talk and the people sitting in this in the room. We need also exchanges. But if I will start. Let's just, we want to have half a day of information at the beginning to train, explain some issue for all the participants.
I think I'm agreeing with you, Sebastian. That's a great framework. I mean, you start off by setting what the objectives of the session is, and there will be some need for some training and some knowledge share. And I would suggest also that even in terms of the getting back the surveys, from the surveys that we have done previously and from the secretariat meetings that we have had, we have some very good ideas as to what the burning issues are. I think we could therefore use those, and I beg of you, don't pack it with too many issues. Let us prioritize and let us keep the ones that we know are important and that has global appeal. It's very important for us to keep that in mind, that we're going to deal with the issues of global appeal. I would also insist that as part of the framework that you just started up, we leave a space for teasing out an emerging issue that might not have been on the agenda, on the radar, but from talk about and discussions in the hallway, we realize that it might be an emerging issue, and therefore we could put it on. So I think we have fairly good,
I draw your attention to, and I don't know whether you might be able to put it up on Frederick, I don't know whether you'd be able to put up the existing draft agenda, which you find at the usual blah, 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 .org/summit-workinggroup/index.cgi. There's a draft that's already there. What we have is a large group of people together for day one. There are teasing outs that need to be done, but it started off with introduction, welcome and greeting, blah, 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 introduction from each ALS rep, introduction from ALEC members and a board rep, introduction to other participants, meet and greet stuff. Then it's morning tea time. Then you've got orientation activities. These are presentations by people outside of our own organisation. We should be bringing in somebody of considerable note as a keynote to look at the history of ICANN. People from the ACs, the other SOs, the chairs of those organisations, we may find it useful to bring in perhaps in this next session, perhaps even the Ombudsman, whose task very much is not just dispute resolution, but in equity and fairness and proper and courteous discussion. Very useful tools could be used then. There we go. No idea why that changed. That basically, with a general orientation to what is the structure, ALS, RALOs and at large, takes you through to lunch. Then what you were saying with the breakdown into specifics is what was proposed. So with what if that could be seen to be the afternoon to evening on day one, what we're looking at is we've used one big room for one day. So we then don't need to think about breakout sessions until the next day. Yeah. And I think if we can now flesh out using that model, we can actually, you know, make something meaningful out of this in the 20 minutes I've left you to do it in.
I'm just going back to some early documents that we had where there were a number of tentative agendas, and they already give the framework for what we can possibly do. I've got one that's a PDF file dated 2008, February 14th. And it was a combination of an early draft of the actual proposal itself with the vision, objectives, levels, and so on. And there's actually a section in it that has a tentative agenda. And just as a matter of background, it broke it down into the first day morning, first day afternoon, second day morning, second day afternoon, third day morning. And so while we can spread those out through other days to accommodate other parts of, you know, embedding within the rest of the meeting and so on. So what we've got is the first morning is a kind of orientation. Welcome to ICANN culture, for lack of a better thing. The second day was a general assembly all together that would involve bringing everyone together as one group, introducing some of the policy issues that have been brought up from the questionnaire, find out from the floor if there's things that are of general interest, and try and flesh out what are the priorities that this group wants to move on in the very, very short order. Both sides of that are still all one room. The way we have it, the morning of the second day started to break that down into workshops. So as the priority issues were identified, then people would pick the ones that were of interest to them. At that point, you'd have either one room broken out or however that works out. Again, that's the logistics issue. But a breakout issue to, you know, three, four, five, how many priority issues that are done, you do a workshop with that, with hopefully preparation so that there's people capable of teaching, and then you make it interactive. Then I think what was going to be built into this is that there was also going to be a component of the delegates breaking into their regions. So that once you had the workshops and when you had people doing the interaction, getting the background, at that point, then you allow for an assembly based on regions. So everyone that's there from AP Rallo gets together and say, it goes around the table where here's where we came at from these, and then you bounce it around within the region to see if there's any kind of regional consensus of how to move forward with that. At that point, then that dissolves, and then you get together either for another general assembly or for another set of workshops, now with people having some kind of sense of where their region is coming from on these issues. And the end result at the end of that is either the drafting of statements or coming up with some firm action to go forward from that, which ends up being either, as you wish, as a plenary or however you want to call it, or a final statement, or again, that's a to be determined. But that seemed to be the general thrust of the very early agendas of these. It was fairly simple. Basically, orientation, an altogether policy discussion, break up by subject, break up by region, get back together by subject, and then get together for a plenary.
And that's certainly in keeping with the one I was just thumblining from, and that's the one that's referenced in this document. So that's the one that the two subgroups need to now use as a base point to develop on. Very much draft, but it does echo that. The question needs
is
to be...
Is everyone okay with this?
Well, I presented it as an adopted document, so okay. The answer is yes. I can, no problem being a despot, none at all. go ahead.
Just a quick question on the schedule that Evan was going through. So do I take it that like day three would be when we break out into regional groups, or what is the deal on that?
No, in fact, day three disappeared. And what happened to day three? We have to, darling, the sad thing is we have to get more bang for our buck. So basically what we're looking at is a framework that uses the time and space normally devoted for the general assembly and meeting of whatever region we are in other words, the Saturday, and the time and space that we use for our one-day policy, i.e. the Sunday. Then our normal ALAC meeting that we have at some point during an ICANN goes, and that becomes the plenary. So ALAC is basically giving up itself for one meeting to make the space they normally occupy with whichever RALO we're near the space and place for the summit. It's the best way we can come up with real meaningful numbers that will work and might just get accepted.
Except for the fact, obviously, the room that the summit would need would be a lot bigger than the room the ALAC would need.
There is that, but it does mean the translation costs, we don't need... there's a number of... They're saving these costs. It's a trade-off. But particularly the logistics costs of interpretation and translation of documents. Really, it doesn't matter whether you're printing out 5 or 500 pieces of paper once the thing is in the new language. The cost of getting it into the new language that's significant. Okay?
Nice list, but there's got to be more.
Well, sorry, part of the problem is there's only so far we can go with this until we start filling in blanks based on the survey. In other words, we sort of have, okay, here's the first 3 hours doing this. In fact, the day one, we can start moving on without getting the survey because that's going to be fairly standardized regardless. Is that... Sorry?
Quite frankly, I think all you're going to get from the survey is a validation of what it is. I mean, that's my opinion.
Might I ask that you now work and look at the proposal in terms of logistics, in terms of space allocation, as to whether you're going to use... Do you really need to break into five rooms, or can you have a larger room occupied by a same language group, which might be more than one region? Can you flesh out what regions do or do not need to have the translation services, so that we put the room, we break into rooms that don't mean we're breaking down translation services?
The timing of that of my question wasn't good, because I was going to ask it of Nick. Essentially, I wanted to find out if they're already booking a block of rooms, and they already have that block of rooms booked, that they intend to use throughout the rest of the week for all sorts of neat stuff, whether or not it's possible to sort of leverage that into something that works for the summit.
I can probably help with the answer to that, because of the sorts of discussions I've been having trying to forward this. The rooms they would normally be thinking of booking for the Saturday-Sunday activities are our size rooms. A summit, in other words, ICANN has a mental picture of rooms are like this, right, for Saturday-Sunday. The venue does have suitable spaces, right? They have very large spaces, so we can, providing we get with them early enough, make sure that our needs can be met. I've also noted that the venue has a event planning quotation service and advisory service. And if we get a go and we move this to the next level of cold hard cash calculations and let's make it happen, I would like to propose to the logistics group, but it has to be hand in glove with content, that you take advantage of contacting the venue's planners, because let's face it, they know how their rooms divide best. And it might be that there's a room that is large enough to house our general assembly of all at large, with interpretation booths positioned that in 5 minutes worth of coffee time a panel can be brought down. Big difference. So we actually need to get down to some specific logistic information fairly quickly, and I would strongly encourage the logistics group to pursue that professional partnership with the venue. Go ahead, darling.
I was thinking that for the workshops part, that would almost need to have, as you say, broken down rooms, unless we identify from the questionnaires that we're getting in the top, say, three areas of interest and say, okay, that's your day two morning. We're going to have three workshops back to back on blip, blip, and blip. You know, so then we could probably do it that way. It wouldn't be that hideous. I mean, I'm really overstating that. And then in the afternoon, do your breakout sessions for your RALOs, and they could either huddle in corners of the room or, as you say, drop down walls, and that would be very easy.
Darlene, I really think what you've said there cuts to the essence of what Carlton was saying earlier, and that is perhaps not to try and cover every possible policy discussion, but just a few hot topics. Virtually go through the exercise as an, and this is how it can happen locally. Here is an exercise to get you used to the methodology. Now go back to your parts of the world and to your grassroots members and make it happen.
Exactly, because if we bombard them with too much information, they're not going to get anything out of it. So
the only downside of that, which is not something that bothers me, but it could, but it might affect the sellability of the event, is that it affects the deliverables. Because if the result of this is here's what to send back for further action, then it makes less of specific tangible outcomes at the summit itself. I don't have a problem with that, but I've heard, and I don't even remember from where, that if you don't have really concrete at the end of this, there will be bang, 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 it will make it harder to sell to some people.
Go ahead, Carlton.
Can I tell you, the summit does not release the traditional ALEC to ICANN work space that we have, you know. So in my mind, the summit will give ALEC a well-defined agenda, an agenda where there is more buy-in from the wider ALS group. That's what I think is the most important thing, buy-in. They would be more comfortable with the ALAC agenda. Because I still want us to understand that it is we talk to ICANN through the ALAC. And what we're trying to do is to make the ALAC much more decisive and certainly give the board the idea that the ALAC, in speaking to the board, is speaking with the global consensus. Because we have a tighter working relationship. Our ALS is understand how the work flows through the ALAC to the board. That's what I think is the greatest thing to achieve.
At the risk, two things I'd like to do. I'll read into the record what our deliverables are, or at least what we quoted that they would be. And I'd like to share with you something that anybody who is going to be with us tomorrow will hear again, because I'm planning on saying it in my opening. And that is, the measure of the maturity of the ALAC will be when it can present both consensus and divergent views, well established and based in meaningful input from the ALSs and from through the RALOs to the board. That is the main measure of ALAC maturity, which we are not at yet. There are sub-measures of that maturity, which will include the nomenclature of how many of your countries have an ALS, at least one ALS in it, and whether, you know, you have one per every country or 60% of your regional saturation. They're sub-measures. In terms of ALAC, not RALO maturity, not at large, the whole beast, but in terms of ALAC, it will be seen as mature, in my totally biased opinion, when it is getting sufficient feeding with the right quality divergence, depth or consensus of view. Don't mind. That means it can go to the board table with a regionally based global view. Because we all know, as lovely as it would be to think of one world, not going to happen for a while. We're a long way off. But we do need to have this is the emerging economy view from all five RALOs. This is the majority view of all of us. And we're not there yet because we're not getting that communication and input working. So, yes, thank you. I hear exactly what you're saying. I think we're reading from the same chapter. Our deliverables are... resolutions based on policy development. Any resolutions are not agreed at the final plenary or require more regional consultation should be accompanied by hard deadlines for passage. That's fine. Establishment of working groups related to specific policies with explicit goals and timetables for productions of papers or resolutions. So at that point, Evan, we're not actually promising to give them a communique with outcomes. We're promising to give them clear planning guidelines on how we're going to meet the needs. ALS leadership who are fully aware of ICANN, its working and its issues, and who are ready and able to bring this information to their members, that's clearly going to be met. Improved contacts and relationships between the ICANN ALSs within and between the regions, again, a given with what we're planning, and between at large and the other constituencies, and that is why content, please note, I would like to see you inviting guest speakers from everybody's constituency. You should have somebody from the ASO talking. If you are a supporting organisation or an advisory committee or a cleaner, all right, I was exaggerating. In the office, we really should have them coming to us to ensure that there's a buy-in, to use your term, Carlton, and a welcoming, a beginning of a communication. And finally, to work on an individual internet users declaration, which was something I believe URALO primarily forwarded, that in itself may end up being an intent to, not an outcome. I'm not sure we're going to necessarily fit in the work on such a declaration, but it may be an opportunity, but we can use that as a model of one of the workshop activities. It would be a good opportunity here to consider both content and logistics, how we might bring in, under that number five, the existing ISOC work. Correct me if I'm wrong, Annette, it's ISOC Italy in that's been working in the other... So I would look to Uralo to somehow nexus, to mesh wherever that's heading with our activities on this matter at the summit. I think that's really important.
Thank you, Chair. And I think, you know, we could put in, because there are, I can tell you, in La Corral itself, there are like issues that are coming up from time to time, especially in the teleconference. And it might be the point where you could get some cross-fertilization of views and make that even stronger. Of course, you lead on it, but there are issues that are coming up in La Corral that could find support in that. That's what I meant by saying space for emerging issues, really. That's what I meant.
And in fact, if we use the number five deliverable, the individual internet users declaration, bill of rights, whatever you want to call it, the nomenclature we can play with later, it could be a registrant's bill of rights. So yeah, it doesn't matter, whatever works. We all know what we're wanting out of it. We could use... It has to be in the ICANN context, which might be why it ends up to be registrants. But we do need to frame it so that we're not stepping on the activities that are already going on within the IGF context as well. Yes, Evan, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking exactly the same kind of thing, the idea of a user's declaration, quote, unquote. I mean, without making it a broadly based thing is going to be... A, difficult, B, not widely recognized as definitive, and C, in some cases, maybe redundant. I don't know what I'm thinking so much as to say, if there's going to be a declaration or final statement, it's got to be very careful about its scope. I had a question that was actually totally separate and changing totally. And it has to do specifically with logistics and the cost of the rooms. It has been brought to my attention that we may have some local friends, whether at universities or elsewhere within the computer using community within Cairo, that might be interested in working with us to perhaps find meeting room locations at academic institutions or elsewhere, if the cost of being at the venue is too prohibitive. I wanted to try and get some direction from this group as a whole to find out to what extent I should be pursuing that, whether or not it's worth it to have something that is, quote, off-site compared to the regular venue, whether that makes a difference from many different things. I mean, obviously, it's going to affect certain things like translation services and so on. But if the cost ends up being really prohibitive at the venue and a university is prepared to give us rooms for free, is that something worth considering?
I do have a personal comment to make, but I'd like to throw that open to the floor. In fact, less than just throw it open to the floor, I actually would like to get everybody's opinion on it. So I'm actually going to ask for the first time in this meeting for us to literally go around the table and respond to that, because you're either going to love it or hate it, and I'd really like to hear the individual's views. I certainly know my views, but I'd like to hear the individual's views. So, Darlene, sitting upon the right hand of, go ahead.
I think we need to be very, very careful as to where... as to where the university is, because if you're having to cart 100 people all the way across town, that's going to end up being prohibitively expensive right there. And as Evan already mentioned, translation is going to be a huge issue. You can't just cart those translation booths around, so that's going to be costly. So even if we got the rooms for scot-free, I can't imagine that working unless the university is right beside there or something like that.
Please go ahead. Sorry, I don't know your name. My apologies.
My name is Lutz. I'm first time here, and so I have a lot of problems understanding what's going on now. I'm really
sorry. Some people have been around here for a long time, and that hasn't changed.
I wasn't awake an hour ago.
I didn't expect something other now, so I'm waiting for the point where I can participate. At the moment, I can't. Sorry.
Okay, I'm here in this community since 10 years, and I'm still again confused also about a lot of issues, because it's obviously unavoidable that the wheel is reinvented again and again. And but coming to your concrete question, I think personally, with all the experiences, it's a bad idea to go to another place. In particular, if you look on the location. If it would be downtown in the Hilton Nile Hotel, which is in the city center, or in the venue where we had the ICANN meeting in the year 2000, so where you can just go across the street and to find another place. But this time, you know, we are rather outside in the city. This is an isolated place. And I think the costs to ship 100 people, you have to at least then 3 or 4 buses to bring the people to this place. And so that means you win probably a little bit money, but you lose also some money. And the question is also, and I think this is more important, what is the main objective of this summit? Is it just outreach in Egypt, or is it to stabilize the at-large community within the ICANN structure and to get more recognition? So that means our main target is the ICANN community, the non-at-large ICANN community. And do you really believe that this non-at-large ICANN community will come to a summit which is elsewhere in the city? So that means we would really totally fail to reach our main targets.
I think you would be creating some noise, we say in the channel, if you were to go off-site. I really do believe the logistics are daunting enough. And quite frankly, I agree with my friend Wolfgang here that the objective is to cement the relationships of the at-large community within ICANN. I see going to some place outside of that as a distraction, quite frankly, and I would not entertain it.
Well, I think almost everything has been said. I can just join the two previous speakers. Indeed, if we try to find a location somewhere else, it will cost a lot of money. The question is that an added value being somewhere else? I don't think so. So let's keep to the same.
Your view on off-site? Your view on having an off-site venue? Good, bad, indifferent?
I'm not very much in favor.
I would suggest that we do it in Paris in November.
Very valid point. Thank you, Sebastian. Hala.
I have a question, Sebastian. Could you assure that the International Association for the Francophonie is paying half of the summit budget? I could imagine this as a very strong argument towards the ICANN Executive Board for reconsidering the venue of the summit. Just a thought.
I am sure that we can ask them tomorrow when they will be here, but I can assure you that if it was happening in Paris this time, we would have organized some travel for some people, and it's already done by this organization. For some African people here, then it might have been done. But it's not here, then we can't dream anymore about that.
Sebastian, I might ask if Howard is more comfortable speaking in French, if you would translate for us. Howard, your view on an off-site location for the summit versus running the summit in the Cairo Event Hotel?
Okay, no real preferences, but I prefer to have this with the ICANN because it will allow more participation and more cross-pollinization.
I think it is an event which is important for the whole ICANN. Though we are inviting the individual users, still I actually not only expect, I really hope that board members are there. I hope, I expect a lot of other constituencies also to be there. And this should be a message because we are not doing this for fun on our own behalf. We are the bottom-up structure of ICANN. And this is what this is all about, why we are doing this. And so I think it should be absolutely connected to this. If there is the wonderful incidents that you have a huge university right next to the ICANN conference hall, or it is one building, you know, seriously, it should be the same place. And it should not be even a 10 minutes walking distance. If it's a different place, it's a bad place.
If you would, do you have a? Do you wish to comment or answer the question on a venue for a summit that is at the same place as the ICANN meeting or in a separate place?
Andres Oliva from the ISO Catalan chapter. And I completely agree with Wolfgang and with Annette. And I will add another concern. I don't know if you have already thought about this, about the issue of the security. Mm-hmm. But I will also consider. But I completely think that it will be really important to have it at the same place.
Yeah, but my name is Oliver Passek from German ALS, and I wanted to say more or less the same, because I also think it's not an easy country to organize a free and open user summit, so I think we will have some space there in the established and already organized venues, which makes me feel the best for even the user summit. I mean, thinking of Tunis and what's happening and so on, so... Mm-hmm. Might be the best suggestion to stay there as the whole meeting takes place.
My name is Frans Kappels. I'm from ISOC Belgium, and I don't have much to add for the moment. I just following the first time this meeting, so I prefer to pass to another one.
Well, might I say, it is exactly the reason you're all here, just observing and getting used to what's... This is the purpose of running a two-day summit, to get everybody at the same space, get us all up to the same place, and then move on as a unified, well-educated, informed, at-large community to go back to our local grassroots input and know what happens when the information gets passed on. That is the outcome we're after. I really don't have to make a personal comment because really you've done it for me. You are all in absolute agreement with my totally biased views. So well done and thank you very much. We come to the point now where if we had it broken up into two parts, we'd be coming back to a whole. We're already a whole, so we will continue. Yes, go ahead, Evan.
Sorry. Actually, I hope you don't mind, but I have another question related to that I would like to get everybody's feedback on. Since it is agreed that we want to be in the same venue, is this an open event? if five IP lawyers show up to go into the workshop, is that going to intimidate new ALS people from making their own comments?
We have to run open events. That's the way it is. The skill is in ensuring that you have the right people facilitating and managing every workshop. I doubt that Carton would have much problem managing a wrangle of silks or lawyers, and some of us would have those skill sets as well. So we just ensure that we have people with the right skill set to assist some of our ALS representatives who may be a little bit intimidated, perhaps even speaking in public. If we get some people from some countries speaking in what can be considered in the public record, is going to be an enormous shift of normal operational correspondence for them to come across. And we might have to buddy and we might have to assist, but we certainly have to make sure that a few of us in the know and with the right skill sets are populating the right things. But we can't do it behind closed doors. We'd lose the effect. Yes, go ahead, Annetta.
Practical comment on that. We have the problem of space. I just want to make sure that those who are invited, they have to be on. So what Evan just said, you know, if you have a room, you have a workplace or something, and there are all these IP lawyers jumping in and trying, you know, to run this meeting. There are two things. First, we have to make sure that the invited internet users' representatives get their place, just physically. That's one thing. Second, you have a sort of second list of invitation, you know, special honored guests, which we should also make sure that they should be able to come in. And then all the meetings are open, Evan. And even if it's intimidating for some people, the meetings are still open. So we should, in that case, ensure if there is such a situation, something like Cheryl said, you know, that there is some help there. And that there is maybe someone, because this IP lawyer, I think you have certain people in mind, at least it was exactly IP lawyers. I also went to a meeting here where I was really shocked about their behavior because they were just behaving like this and speaking American English really fast and dominating everyone. It was amazing. So, and they somehow are not shy. And so there are other people with totally different cultures. And in that case, yes, it is sometimes helpful to have someone there and say, hey, you know, this meeting is about something and is run by different people.
Carlton, go ahead. And then Rudy.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, the meeting should be open, but that does not necessarily mean that we can accommodate everybody who shows up. I mean, we say open meeting, and you fill the room, and when the room is done, it's done. But I wouldn't worry too much about lawyers. You probably know Lacroix is filled with lawyers. And it's 26, and there's probably about 25 lawyers. And we've had meetings. And so there are ways to run a meeting with lawyers, even IP lawyers in there. I wouldn't worry too much about that.
Yeah, well, looking at the second day of the meeting, we still have to organize it in such a way that it is not becoming chaotic. We want to have some workshops done, and we need people to organize the workshop. So if it's only open, it will mean also chaotic. So I would like to avoid this kind of approach and structure the second day as much as possible. And I would support the proposal of Annette to make some priorities in invitation of people attending the meeting, if any way it's possible.
Please, go ahead.
I have a question about practical experiences in such cases. I have problems in understanding that lawyers come to an open meeting and take it over. I have problems to get this scenario in my head. I don't think that will happen. Did you have experience that it already take place somewhere? So I think it's an unnecessary fear now.
I don't know, even I
Well, mine is the North American RALA. We're filled with aggressive people. So, and a lot of them speak American English, and just some. So no, it's not a specific fear or concern. My only thought is that the summit still is only 100 people, and it could become very easy for other people who are concerned about having an at-large that has too much of a voice to try and ensure that that doesn't happen. We still have a lot of challenges within this organization. There's still a lot of people here who I think fear an active and working and mature at large, and that's the heart of my concern.
If I may, there's a difference between open and open participation, and I think you will find if staff are doing what I hope they're doing, we're going to be allocated seats for all of our meetings anyway, so we just have more allocated seats in a bigger venue. Because I tire of having to move what I consider voyeurs off the main table so that the main players can actually get to the microphone. So you just manage that sort of event in a very different way. You know, clearly labelled, and they would match up with the seats. That doesn't mean that you cannot have observers. And it's how you manage your observers that is important, and that comes back again to the skill of the chair or facilitator. And I would suggest that we will need to actually in-service train whoever is going to take those roles as a small group activity before we start doing it, because everybody has to be running the same way, in the same way, mechanisms, using the same rules and guidelines for consistency. Yes, go ahead, Evan.
Okay. That's something that's out of my personal area of competency, but I agree that we need something like that, and I hope there are people within this group that can help arrange that and make sure we have the right people. I'm confident that with what you say is true, that if we have the right people, we will run this right, but it makes it all the more critical that what you say happens.
It comes down to prior planning preventing poor performance. And that really is an essential thing that we need to do here. If I may just share with you the reason that I was a little tense when I came into this meeting was because of the poor ability for us to run an open meeting for what turned out to be a very important, and one moment, thing, I recognise you, IDNC working group. We had a room for the working group to meet in. Like other meetings, it was open. They had to move us to the main foyer, the big main horseshoe double-ed area, because we had three times the number of working group members as observers. Now, unfortunately, that meant that instead of us sitting around a table, well, IDNs are very important to people. Trust me, this
three
one.
Times the number of observers.
Correct. Then we did working group members.
You said three times the number of working group members.
Observers than working group members, right? No. That wouldn't be a problem. No. Three people at the back wouldn't have been a problem. What it meant was, in a room that had an enormous horseshoe and then a second row behind it, we had a circle with 30 of us in red chairs looking like we were playing some party game for 2.5 hours. That's not how it should be done, and certainly not something that's that important. So, yes, we would not make that poorer planning choice. And I think that's the sort of thing. But that's an open meeting. Now, for example, the UNESCO people who were there, quite reasonably as observers, were invited to speak. As an observer, the chair said, would you care to make something of that point? And that's how you handle an observer in those situations. They're invited guests to contribute. I would like to just mention to you that the hotel venue, so it becomes part of the record, is the Cairo Sheraton Hotel. We have our dates, 7th to 10th of March. The Cairo Sheraton Hotel has a... Actually, interestingly enough, it actually says March on the website I'm reading. It has to confuse us. I literally read it out of... Okay, it would be good if it was in November. I think we do know. It's whatever we said here. But yes, the ICANN website says March. I was just reading it out. Well, I'm reading the website, so I'm just concerned that there's been some change, because that should be... Well, then let's hope that's the case. I don't remember it being Sheraton, so whatever website that is simply wrong. Go ahead.
I don't know where you are looking for, but I remember that there were a regional meeting in Cairo sometime, and then it could be that in March. But because for the moment, if I look to the first page of the ICANN meeting, there is nothing to say that Cairo is open and you have this information. But I don't know.
Two points for the number one is when we had the first Internet Governance Forum, there was the same fear that such a huge new event, we expected 2,000 people, could be hijacked by certain groups. And the only experience I can transfer, and this is exactly what you have said, I want to make your argument stronger, is you need to. Good planning, good speakers, and in particular, good moderators. Because, you know, if you more or less, have already filled the podium, you know, with good speakers, then the risk goes to the Q&A session. You have to have a Q&A session. So, and here you need really a moderator who is able enough then to stop a speaker who clearly tries to hijack the meeting or to put the meeting into a wrong direction or to speak about something which is not related to the issue. On the other hand, I think it's important that we really keep this meeting as open and transparent as possible, because this is the philosophy of the at-large community. We criticized a lot of other bodies by closing the door or being too restrictive or at-large is sidelined, so it means this would be really against our basic principles and philosophies if we would consider, you know, to make it too restrictive or to exclude people. So, but certainly, you know, we have to prepare for such attacks. And having the floor, let me add another point from the last week. There was in Seoul the OECD ministerial meeting on the future of the internet economy. And the interesting thing is that they are considering now the establishment of a civil society advisory council within the OECD with regard to the internet future of the internet economy. And probably it would be not such a bad idea, you know, to look how other institutions, are handling the involvement of what is called the user, the civil society at large, or what else. So that means, you know, what I see, you know, from a distance as a perspective, we have a huge community which is similar like at large in the WISIS follow-up, including the Internet Governance Forum. We see now emerging, probably even stronger, at large similar community growing in the OECD. We have here the at-large community, and the question is, you know, by looking around, what these different bodies can learn from each other, how to influence policies, because it's also in the OECD, one of the certain, the motivation behind this was, you know, to influence policy processes which are done in the OECD by the governments. So here it's done by the board or by the different councils. But I think this is a great opportunity if the summit, and this would also fit into ICANN's philosophy, because ICANN's philosophy, according to the annex to the joint project agreement, is that ICANN wants to become a model for a multi-stakeholder organization. So that means what ICANN does is probably later mirrored by other organizations. And I think this is our responsibility to show also, you know, how this is here practiced, you know, what we are doing, and then, quote unquote, to export our success to other bodies. It was not just related to the final discussion, but about the moment that I had the floor, and I wanted to say this.
I respect a man who'll take advantage of the floor, no problem at all, especially when it is on topic, and it leads as a perfect segue into what I wanted to do next anyway. So, thank you for the segue. We have just a short amount of time, which I would like to get you to focus on what is going to be said at the workshop. And what you just said, Wolfgang, exactly. Can you imagine the marketing opportunity to say to ICANN constituencies that by doing the summit, they are showing a perfect example of how a proper organisational approach can facilitate and encourage a genuine, interactive, well-informed, facilitated multi-stakeholder model for policy development? That's exactly the sort of stuff I would like to see now fleshed out, put together on a flip chart, and somehow created into a PowerPoint presentation by somebody who is not going to be me between now and our presentation time for the public workshop. So I'd like to ask you all to workshop that, and your starting was just perfect. I would like you to repeat that so it could be taken down and used as one of the keynote pieces. Following on from that and coming into content while you're preparing, mentally preparing as well as physically preparing, to get the right moderator, as you say, is essential. And we have some really good skills in the leadership positions in some of the other ACs and SOs. It's another way of making them get involved. Ask them to do an important job. Let's get these people who have the skill sets in the other constituencies involved, and I think that's really well, really worthwhile. Yeah, it's a nice cross-pollination. If you would like to spend the next few minutes, let me see. Looks to me like 15 will do it perfectly. Doing a thumbnail sketch of probably five slides, no more than 4 points on each. The floor, the table, the flipboard and the microphones are yours. I'd like to thank you all for contributing, and especially those people who are brave enough to come along and be involved. As observers, you're more than valuable to contribute to this next part, so please feel free to do so. And then when I disappear for good reasons, because I've got another meeting to go to. So thank you very much.
You're asking for the contents of the four slides? Slide one, overview. Slide two, if it's only four slides. Okay, but I mean, so slide one is an overview. What is it? Mm-hmm. So that slide one is what? Mm-hmm. Slide two is why. Slide three is when, sort of a general agenda. The next slide is intended outcomes. Okay, and I can see maybe one or two of those taking more than one slide, but I think essentially, while keeping it reasonably compact, that's basically all it needs to do.
Let's populate the slides. And please, Wolfgang, if you could repeat vaguely what you said and I endorsed, that would be great. It needs to be captured, and I'm not sure we'll get the recording in time.
That's not all.
Yes, now. This is open.
Well, You know, at the, in a broader context, what we are doing here is we're trying to develop a model for a multi-stakeholder organization, which is part of ICANN's tasks according to the annex to the Joint Project Agreement. And so this multi-stakeholderism is, if you put it into historical context, an innovation in global policy development. So it was on the birth of ICANN, when ICANN was established in 1998, the idea was to have a new governance model with the involvement of users on an equal footing with the private sector. So the original idea was to have 99 voting directors. So then we realized that it doesn't work, but on the other hand, when then the World Summit on the Information Society started, civil society became an important player in this process, in particular if it came to internet governance, because the governments wanted to change the regime how the internet critical resources are managed, as you probably remember. And there was a question of should ITU take over ICANN and whether ICANN can survive. And there were two interesting side effects in this process. Number one was that the ICANN leadership, Winsurf and Paul Twomey, used the existence of a rather weak at large movement at this moment in 2003, 2004 to protect ICANN against Wyss's efforts to influence ICANN. Because this was a strong argument telling the governments, okay, we have the internet users as part of our decision-making structures, because the governments claimed that they represent the users, and Paul Twomey and Winsurf argued, no, the users have a chance to represent themselves, and ICANN is the platform where they can do this. And on the other hand, you know, within the WISIS process, civil society emancipated, created an own body, the Internet Governance Caucus of the Civil Society, and became finally recognized. They were a partner of the Working Group on Internet Governance, and they are now an equal partner in the Internet Governance Forum. And I think this is an interesting thing, how this principle of multi-stakeholderism, which was invented by ICANN 10 years ago, has now moved through several bodies and comes back. Now, after 10 years, we have reached a certain new level in within ICANN. So ICANN is more or less now the driver of the process with this summit, and can do two things. For ICANN as a whole, it's important to show, okay, we are exploring further unknown territory, because it's still unknown territory how users are included in decision-making, in policy development within the ICANN process. But we are moving forward, and we are the place where this can happen. So, and at the same time, that's why I said it can be exported, you know, other institutions dealing with the internet, like the ITF, like the OECD now, or the ITU now, have also started to think about involvement of civil society, can learn from ICANN. So, and I think this is important that we, as a large movement within ICANN, you know, demonstrate this all the good experiences and best practices. And we should be aware about this. How does this be translated into a PowerPoint presentation? Let's wait and see. We have still a couple of months to go. So it has to be, you know, really very, very, very careful done so that we get the right message to the broader public. But the intention is here that we should not only look through in a narrow way to the issue of the summit, but the summit is, you know, really has a much broader political meaning and a much broader political dimension. And if we put it in this global context, then we probably achieve much more, and we are becoming probably also more attractive to other groups who say, okay, this is the place where we have to go.
I guess the challenge is fitting that onto one slide.
Thank you.
flashing. Okay, here we go. At what stage is the summit right now through the board bureaucracy? The numbers have been put in, the proposal has been put in, but there's still a chance that this whole thing could fall through. And I just, we've got a lot of people here putting a lot of effort, a lot of energy in. Is there any inkling of where things are going, how things are going? Is there a real chance that this thing could be all for nothing? You know, having said all these good words about it, Nick, do you or does anybody else at this table have any idea of how close this is to happening or not happening?
Well, the Board Finance Committee, in the first instance, has to go through the budget before the meeting on Thursday and finalize the budget that the board will then vote up or down, basically without going through the minutiae of it. So I don't actually know when the Board Finance Committee is meeting this week, but I know they are meeting before Thursday to go through it. So I can't tell you what the positions are of any of the members other than that Raimundo Becker is the chair of it, and there was a minute that he was not in favor of it at some point or had something to say about it, which we all read, but I don't know any more than that.
Are they looking at it as a line item, or are they looking at it as a separate issue? Is it a line item on a big budget that they're voting on, or are they voting and discussing the summit separately?
As I understand it, this is a quote-unquote special project, and they are looking at, they have the proposal that was sent through. I don't know what amount of time that forms in there, looking through the overall budget of 50-odd million, I don't know. But I know they are looking at it as its own thing, and they have your proposal.
And so I'll take the floor. Well, I will just say that I think we should take care about the amount of energy that we all put in this, if it's not going to be approved, because it could create a lot of frustration, and we should take care of this. And at the same time, I also think that all this meeting, the bottom-up model for discussion and for this decision is already established and is already somehow working. But somehow it's difficult to explain to other organizations or to show to the world that it's working, it's already working. So I see, from my point of view, this meeting as the possibility to make a photo of it. And I don't know how you say it in English, but it's basically said, something like a photograph or an image is more than 1,000 words. So somehow what we're looking here for, I think, is also to make the photo and show that this is possible.
Frederick has just distributed a revised timetable for the planning of the summit content sub-working group, the CSWG, as if we don't have enough letters in our lives. Thank you so much for that, Wolf. I need more letters in my life. Although, might I point out, I think it's very important, particularly when we're looking at the outreach aspects here, that we do take the time to explain the letters, at least at the first time we use them. You might have noticed me chatting to people in your Uralo meeting when I was waiting to speak today. They wanted to know whether that was the Cocos Islands that had their... What was the NSO to do with the Cocos Islands? Because it said CCNSO. Now, I'm not saying that to be flippant. I'm saying that to make it very clear to everybody in this room that something we think we all know, CCNSO, in a RALO meeting needs explanation. So we should not overestimate what people know, and we should take the time to at least start with a glossary the first time we use terms. Who is going to put their hand up to be the small, effective and greatly appreciated working group to bludgeon the PowerPoint together? Okay. So I see Evan, I see Wolf, I see Wolfgang. Well, for gender equity, I suppose I will put Darlene in just to keep you boys working. And do I see Rudy? Thank you very much. It's probably a reasonable gender ratio, one female to all of you. That's about equal. I see ourselves 2 minutes to closing time. I will call for last questions, last comments. Yes, please go ahead.
Maybe because of the approval through the board or the responsible financial body, maybe we should add the latest point of time when we need really a go-through mm-hmm. for the whole process decision by the responsible body, so that the timetable is not confused by not having the final decision about the budget and so on.
Do we have a plan B if the board rejects the budget?
I was planning on sulking, personally. I was planning on sulking. But beyond sulking, a good idea never really dies.
I just wanted to say that the other, you know, major possible option is that they may say, well, we won't pay for the whole thing, but we'll fund a chunk of it. So you can either do it more cheaply or find some sponsors. Now, I did ask the legal staff if there are legal issues to consider if an ICANN meeting has a meeting that is part of it which wishes to have sponsors that are not necessarily the same sponsors as the main meeting. And lo and behold, of course, there are legal issues to consider. I don't know what they are. But they said, well, you know, let's talk about it. I got the impression that it's not like they're insurmountable issues. It's just there are things to consider because I think traditionally the sponsors of ICANN meetings have been sponsors of the whole meeting because there's not been a situation like this where a part of the meeting might need separate sponsorship. So hopefully that's useful.
Could that lead to a situation where if the board says we're prepared to pay but only for a certain part of it, that leaves the rest of us essentially scrambling to find sponsors, which probably throws the timing off?
It may leave us as scrambling to find sponsors, or it may lead us to some meaningful negotiations with partnership opportunities. There's other organisations, is there not, that may find preparatory planning opportunities by running in parallel, for example. There should be other opportunities, but certainly this is why the go or no-go needs to be done and needs to be done soon, which comes back to your point of this timetable needs to have that. And do we expect the go or no-go at the Paris meeting?
Yes.
So there's no downside to not having a date, but we should know. Well, thank you to the subcommittee. Yes, Sebastian, I recognise you.
Yeah, but just I know that a lot of people are already talking about sponsoring, but I can tell you after the work done for the Paris meeting that you will see the number of sponsors, because the overall meeting of ICANN, even if it's split between the local host and ICANN itself, we had to negotiate the split, and the split was the usual suspect stay within the ICANN budget and the new one stay with the local host or will come to the local host. You see the lot of work that we have to do because you need to find new sponsors.
And if you add to that, that it will be in a developing country, not in Paris, not in a developed country. It was very, very difficult here. But imagine in a developing country, they will need to pay for what they have to organize. And if you are not able to go to the usual suspect, that's very sign and so on. If you are not going to new ones from the country and the region, then it's leave very, very small possibility to have other sponsor. The only one I still think it's feasible, it's to find within the local community an help from CCTLD or from other organization linked with internet governance or with ICANN to help our ILS's representative to come from those country to this meeting. But then it's more each association, each member of the at-large structure who have to do this work. We can help with some figures, with some background explanation of why we need them to come to Cairo. But don't think that as a dream to have a lot of money that will come from sponsors to help us to organize this meeting. I really think that we need today as a message to say that it is on the duty of ICANN to organize this meeting. It's a 10th anniversary. It's really a need for the overall community to have this organized by ICANN and on the budget of the ICANN meeting. And then if something happens, we will discuss how we can handle some answer. We will be different of what we hope. But it's really important that we say that. The second point I wanted to raise, I already say that, and if we can have this presentation done for Tuesday constituency meeting, it will be very useful to help. Our liaison and other members of the community will participate to constituency meeting because they will be able to have this discussion in smaller group than just in where we will be parked to have our discussion on the at-large. I don't want to be too bad or give bad news, but I am not sure that you will have a lot of people coming to our workshop because where it is and when it is parallel to other things, it will be very difficult to have people coming from other constituencies. It's why I really want to use the Constituency Day to allow our liaison and other people to make this, even if it's not the presentation, to make the speech to explain what we want to do and to tell them that there will be a workshop on that. If they can come, it will be great. Thank you very much.
If nothing else, I mean, I could probably make myself heard, I just wouldn't go on the recording. If nothing else, if everybody has a copy written down in their notes that they can Bluetooth or whatever to anybody, the URL on our wiki where the repository for all this information is. I mean, that in itself is an important marketing exercise. So I think that's the bare minimum we all need to walk around and be able to do. Once the presentation is up, it needs to be uploaded onto the wiki as well. So I'll leave that specifics of the timing. Darlene, you have several men to manage on the subcommittee. You left the room, and I couldn't have no gender equity, so you won. Yeah, I thought you could handle it. It's all right. I said one of you, four of them, it's about even. Okay. Thank you all. I trust that most of you have felt this has been a worthwhile expenditure of your time. I particularly appreciate the observers who really have contributed greatly, and thank you all. And please feel free to join us at any of our open meetings. And we will look forward to seeing you at a summit, if not before. Bye for now. Thank you.
We are not in this meeting, but this room for our future meetings. We are in a much bigger room upstairs with windows. So anything that you wish to keep, take it with you.
The share may be the same, but I am not sure that the color.